Shalom,
hello. Today's lesson will be in preparation for the Latin America Convention of 2019, Building the Future Society. Lesson number 3 will continue with excerpt number
5.
We are continuing our preparation to the congresses in Latin America and North America. The topic is an important one, and still, when we talk about none else besides him, we have to see that it's all with respect to the person who attains, and the man, Adam, means the system of Adam. Without it, there's no attainment. The person does not appear in an individual person. There has to be equivalence of form with the Creator. And equivalence of form is when one comes out of his ego and rises to a different degree of perception of reality and behavior. And it's all with respect to how much the person knows and is capable of shifting himself from his eye and somehow care about the friends instead of himself. That leads us to the group, which has to follow the law of Arvut, which is the condition for entering spirituality. The law of Arvut talks about each of us caring for the other. Very simple, I don't care for myself, even though this is all my nature and my essence, and my thoughts and desires from dawn to dusk are all that way, that I only care for myself. And disconnecting from myself is like dying. So I'm told, yes, it is doable without physically dying, because the physical disconnection from the body is not an entrance to spirituality yet. And in addition to just disconnecting from yourself, you also need to care for others. And these others are a group of people who are with you, connected in such a way that you're in them. And thereby disconnect from yourself in thought, in concern, and you shift all your thoughts and concerns to them, to that group. And if you manage to do that, then you see that that becomes like a switch that switches you from a corporeal perception of reality to a spiritual one. That is how we need to behave, essentially. And that is what leads us to the perception of what is none else besides Him. That I leave my egoistic boundaries and then I'm included in what is called the Creator. And then I identify, I discover that there is one force guiding the whole of reality, and I become included with it as I rise from self-concern to concern for others. And the friends helped me with that, because the more I cared for them, instead of self-concern, I have detached from myself and reached Nanos besides him. Nanos besides him is a concept that actually doesn't exist in this world. We call it a very lofty spiritual concept. And losing all the connection to myself and feeling reality on the outside, that is outside of me, the Creator and the others, then I begin to understand what the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about. What it means that there is none else besides him. What the upper force means, and how it's like to be in him. To think, to care, to feel what's outside of the egoistic self. And then I see, I realize that certainly all of my previous perception that I felt reality inside of me was a certain illusion. And that is actually what doesn't exist in the true reality. But as it says, we were as dreamers. And the truth is that there's none else besides him. And we'll continue. Let's follow the excerpts that were prepared for us and see how else can we advance to entering none else besides him.
Excerpt 5 from Abash's article, The Meaning of Truth and Faith. We were given the path of faith, which is above reason, namely not to take our sensations and reason into account, but to say, as it is written, they have eyes and see not, they have ears and hear not. Rather, we should believe that the Creator certainly is the overseer, and he knows what is good for me and what is not good for me. Therefore, he wants me to feel my state as I do. And as for myself, I do not care how I feel myself to be, because I want to work in order to bestow. Therefore, the main thing is that I need to work for the Creator. And although I feel that there is no wholeness in my work, nevertheless, in the kelim, in the vessels of the Upper One, meaning from the perspective of the Upper One, I am utterly complete. As it is written, the cast out will not be cast out from him.
We are in the hands of the Creator like a baby in the hands of its mother, and certainly he relates to us with unconditional love and his concern for us is unbounded. But in order for us to somewhat imagine who we're dealing with, then we hear from the wisdom of Kabbalah that the desire created by the Creator was shattered to many individual desires. And these desires are in conflict, in disparity, in resistance emotionally to each other. And how do we each move from everyone's sense of his own egoism to beginning to sense the others, because without it we cannot reveal the Creator, we cannot attain the quality of bestowal, we cannot enter the spiritual state, the spiritual world. So we were given the shattering, and from the shattering we can attain the complete quality of bestowal. As we said before, we have to exert a lot in the ten. Everyone has this force, this tension within, that is called what is called laboring. When I try to depict, instead of the object, that the object that I care for, that I do for, the is my friends, the ten, instead of me. That means that I lose myself in the ten, that I immerse myself in the ten, dissolve in it, and thus come to the recognition that there is none else besides him. And if I begin to sense the ten instead of myself, simply replace my concern, that's all, nothing else, then it turns out that now I take on the new kli, and I feel what's outside of me. I always felt reality with respect to myself, meaning what is good about it, what is bad about it, and it's all with respect to myself, which means that I didn't feel reality itself, but rather, what do I get out of it? Reality itself was hidden. Now, if I shift my concern from myself to them in a way that I don't have any concern for myself, and it simply disappears, my attention is simply not inside of me. It's as though I received some anesthetic and I don't feel myself. I then feel the friends, and I always look at them, and it's an inner work. No one needs to know and see that you're so. It is an inner personal exercise that everyone needs to do. And usually on the outside, we don't need to show it. Certainly, in our work in the ten, we also express it in order to give an example to the friends. Everyone helps his friend this way. But in practice, this is my own work. So first of all, disconnecting from myself as much as possible, exercise, just exercising it all the time. And each and every time thinking about the other friends. It's very uncomfortable. It's not desirable. We're all normal, egoistic people. In each of us, there is a program of self-concern, the desire that cares for itself, the desire that wants to receive in order to receive. However, we can exert and labor, and according to the efforts that we make, we will realize there is a special force that helps us do that and gives us a certain feeling that it's possible. that a bit more and a bit more we can have a concern for the friends and make these exercises. It's not that you have to lose something here. You only have to try to be inside the friend, as if it's close to you, as if it's your baby, as if it is a very precious person to you. These are exercises. Tell yourself that there is nothing serious about it, that you're not going to lose, like it says in the article, in that article, that a person thinks that he's losing his friends and relatives and a home and this world and moves to some state where who knows where he's going and what for. In short, we have to discuss that state together until we begin to feel that there's none else besides him, that the concern for the friends, when you are devoted to it, it leads you to feel what's outside of you, which is only the single common upper force to all. Please.
Excerpt 6. From
if there are questions, you can go ahead and ask.
New York, please.
The disruptions throughout the day, are those exercises by which I learn how to replace my concern for myself with concern for the ten? What exercises can I certainly
everything that I feel during the day in all kinds of way is an imaginary world. I'm watching a film, and that film is like an educational film. It has to help me reach the true perception of reality, that I'll change my perception, and instead of myself looking completely into myself, into my thought and into my feeling, that is what builds the sensation of this world. So the entire world, including my work and my family and everything I have, and everything that is in front of me like a certain theater, I have to use it in order to invert my perception of reality from me to we, and from we to him, to none else besides him. And then, wherever I am, I can do the same exercises. However, that's a bit more difficult. And so the easiest thing is during the lesson, when I'm in constant concern with the friends, for the friends, instead of self-concern. I always want to be inside of them instead of inside of me. I always try to come out of my own boundary and enter the ten. And throughout these 3 hours in the morning, I constantly make these inner efforts to move from me to them. These are the most precious hours, the most effective hours, because we're all together in in these reciprocal states. So there are 10 people who are thinking and trying to come out of their ego and expecting the light that reforms to come and change their perception of reality, meaning, what do I care for? What do I wish to feel? Which again, that it is that what's outside of me, the friends, will be what's important, and I will not exist. So, following the New York group question, my concern about perception of reality has to be especially in the morning lesson, when we are all together aiming to shift everyone's personal feeling to the feeling of the group. Please.
Excerpt number 6. Baal Sulam, Shamadi 138, about fear that sometimes comes upon a person. When fear comes upon a person, he should know that there is none else besides him, and even witchcraft. And if he sees that fear overcomes him, he should say that there is no such thing as chance, God forbid. Rather, the Creator has given him a chance from above. And he must contemplate and study the end to which he has been sent this fear. It appears that it is so that he will be able to overcome and say that there is none else besides him. But if, after all this, the fear has not departed him, he should take it as an example and say that his servitude of the Creator should be in the same measure of fear, meaning that the fear of heaven, which is a merit, should be in the same manner of fear that he now has. That is, the body is impressed by this superficial fear, and exactly in the same way that the body is impressed, so should it be with the fear of heaven.
This is why we're talking about a person that it's like a person dies. As it says, the dead are free, meaning when a person stops caring for himself, then he is as though dead in a corporeal sense, because he disconnects from self-concern and enters concern for others, which is the 10, and thus advances. And so these exercises that we do, the one who wants to live should put himself to death, these are very vital exercises. They're all aimed at none else besides him. That there is just one true perception of reality, and that's really a perception of reality. Otherwise, we don't perceive reality. We're just introverted in our narrow ego. And when we are focused on that concern only, that's called this world. However, when we start being in concern to what's outside of us, then as soon as we try to change the source or the purpose of our concern from ourselves outwardly to the friends, then I begin to sense them and the upper force that exists and fulfills them. I don't sense the friends. I sense the Creator that fills them. And according to the attention that I pay to them, the concern that I have for them, then the concern can be on the level of bestowing in order to bestow, or even receiving in order to bestow. And that's how I always work to advance myself from exiting self-concern and entering concern for others, seemingly concern for others. What later appears is that it's not actually any kind of concern. It's a method of perceiving the upper reality, which is only the Creator. And then you actually discover and feel that there is none else besides Him. Please. Questions?
Good. Chaim.
Chaim Ratz.
Chaim Ratz.
What
does it mean that I begin to feel the force that fills the friends?
It's like you activate. What does it mean that you feel the force that's outside of you that fills the friends? It is in line with your attention that you have. Imagine that a friend sits next to you. I didn't see who, and you didn't think about him at all. And let's say that in a moment you put your attention on him, and you start caring and feeling what's going on with him, etc. So the moment that you begin to relate that way to him, you begin to sense him. You begin to identify in him all kinds of things. Now the question is, what do you identify? Of course you identify according to your own vessels. And your vessels are 10 sefirot, or 620 desires, that you gradually correct in order to sense the others. Let's say your neighboring friend there. So you help him and he helps you, and thus you, one shall help his friend, and you develop vessels to perceive a reality that is external to you, that is outside each and everyone's ego. And then you feel that you were completely completely closed in your ego, and now you've come out to an external reality. And that's what Bar Sulam describes, like a little maggot that comes out of the radish and sees a whole wide world that it didn't, that it couldn't imagine. And these are the exercises that we need to do, exercises towards the true perception of reality.
But that's to feel the friend. How do I feel the force that fills the friend up?
So I'm telling you, the exercises, when we do these exercises, they lead us to a state that in the concern for the friend, in the desire to connect to him, to do good to him, that we accept a commitment in the 10 called Arvut, that I care about fulfilling the friends, and everyone does that. So I'm committed to care for my 9 friends, like the Malchut, that connects to the above nine discernments. And then I come out of my own boundary and I go into these foreign other desires, and that's how I prepare myself to perceive the reality inside of them, which means the upper light that is inside of them. And that is how I come out to perceive the spiritual reality.
And if I come to this perception and I truly see the force that fills the friend and I act towards that force, how can I make it, how can I prevent it from becoming a shell, a klipa, so I don't work with that force in order to receive?
You can't promise anything to yourself. You only try to do as much as you are told and what your the explanations you hear from Rabash and the social articles, and if you try to do that, it will happen. That's all. We are promised to have that. And again, I tell you just one thing. Concern for the friend. A concern in one's heart. To try to have that concern. And you try it again and again and again until, you know, it's like in a family when you adopt a child. You begin to take care of him again and again, and then even if you don't want to, let's say you have to, and eventually it happens.
Moscow.
Мы прочитали отрывок.
We read an excerpt. A very well-known one about fear, which holds a person. And I would like, if possible, to clarify this transition.
The transition from self-concern to concern for others, only through exercises. That's only through exercises. We cannot stand the attention that we have to give to the friends. How do I begin to care for them? How do I begin to relieve my heart from self-concern and having a place in my heart to concern for others? And these are empty external words to us that we say at first. But gradually, or suddenly, more correctly, I begin to feel that I understand what it was about. That it was just words for even a few years. And now, I suddenly felt that it's not words. That it's an actual feeling. And if I replace the sense of self with the sense of the friend, that it changes inside of me, it flips, then in this new sense of concern to him, I begin to sense what's outside of me. And what's outside is only the Holy Divinity. And then I actually feel that. Only exercises.
Kiev, is there a question? Dear Rav, in this coming out towards the 10 and sensing the friends, they have malchuyot, there are purer desires, And the contact with the ten, is it also gradual according to gradations?
There's many discernments that the whole spiritual world is there, meaning the whole true reality exists in this relation of mine to the others, or to the friend, better to say to the friend. And we need to discuss this, we need to open our hearts. This is doable and permitted in the ten, and that's how one helps his friend. We have to try more and more, but watch out that these words will not be too empty, meaning try as much as possible with all the words that we express our relationship, to have some sensitivity, as though I love, as though I feel, as if I have an inclination towards them. I realize the heart doesn't let me, and the mind thinks about different things, but it's like anything you start with. Like Balasalam Rambash write, that there is no such thing that a person, there's nothing that a person cannot feel if he doesn't make an effort. He ultimately develops his sensitivity to something. And even though he didn't have any preparation for it at first, possibly. And that's exactly the example of what happens with us and the Creator. There's nothing farther than us and Him, this quality of bestowal, this concept of bestowal, and our will to receive. They're opposite to each other. So how can I feel it and understand it? And comprehend opposite concepts only through exercises. That's why they write that there is nothing in reality that one cannot feel, even if it's completely not in him. By the shattering, sparks of light fell into the desire, and we can work with them. So, it's possible. It's possible to acquire a new sense. Please.
Excerpt number 7 from Baal Sulam Shemadi 33, The Lots on Yom Kippur and with Haman. What appears to one as things that contradict the guidance of the good who does good, it is only to compel one to draw the upper light on the contradictions when wanting to prevail over the contradictions. Otherwise, one cannot prevail. This is called the exaltedness of the Creator, which one extends when having the contradictions, which are called dinim, or judgments. And this means that the contradictions can be annulled if one wants to overcome them, and only if he extends the exaltedness of the Creator. It follows that these judgments cause him to extend the greatness of the Creator.
We are built from a will to receive, which is really a very unique invention that is opposite to the Creator. Which is a will to bestow with respect to us. And so it turns out that our will to receive was built as opposite from the Creator, and we can work in such a way that everything that is in as a will to bestow for the Creator becomes for us a will to receive. And so we have to just change our intention from receiving to bestowing, meaning everything that goes through my mind and heart, everything I encounter before I open my eyes and before I run into anything, I have to think about how do I do it in order to bestow. How I relate, how I activate my concern to it, my concern for who I'm dealing with. Or, like we said, most important is with the friends. In these ways, we can relatively quickly, it still takes a few years, but there's no other way. Like Baal Sulam writes about it too, and Rabash, there's no other way but to do these exercises consistently so as to open the sensitivity to bestowal rather than sensitivity to reception. Imagine that you have some baby that needs your attention. That perhaps is not so healthy, and you're looking for how to benefit him, how to do something, and you're always anxious and concerned about how can I do more and more for him and advance in that. And so exercise. There's no more I can add. We can read 1,000 more quotes, but they'll all lead us to the same one thing, that we have to grab hold of ourselves and try through an inner effort to not let our mind and our emotion to basically not do anything, to restrict them to zero, the mind and heart. This is what's called restriction, tzimtzum, to shrink them to zero, and then open our mind and heart in the direction of the others. And try to do these exercises more and more. Obviously, these exercises themselves don't do anything, but they do invite, attract the light that reforms, since they are in line, in correspondence with the upper light that's outside of us. And that's how we'll advance, by the upper light that we attract.
Lina?
Vienna?
How can we be saved from cooling down? The friends did these exercises, but they became cool. They cooled down. Each one found his own niche. It's impossible to develop as a 10. What do you do in that situation?
Lo shomim.
I already said that that we just need to do exercises. You can ask 1,000 questions here, but I'll have only one answer. Either you do this or you don't. That's it. In each and every moment. Efforts and efforts and efforts, inner efforts. If there are external actions that we can do, which are meals and lessons and dissemination and different tasks of bringing the people together and telling people about the urgency for a new perception of reality that we need to acquire, of course. But there's nothing more. The questions in this direction are endless and repetitive. There's only one question, really. How do I avoid doing that? That's it. And against that, the Rabash articles especially teach us how to do it. And that's the matter of society. Only to form the kli to perceive none else besides him. Please. Excerpt number 8 from Bala Sulam, letter 5. I rejoice in those revealed corruptions and the ones that are being revealed. I do, however, regret and complain about the corruptions that have still not been that not appeared, but that which are destined to appear. For a hidden corruption is hopeless, and its surfacing is a great salvation from heaven. The rule is that one does not give what he does not have. Hence, if it has appeared now, there is no doubt that it was here to begin with, but was hidden. This is why I'm happy when they come out of their holes, because when you cast your eye on them, they become a pile of bones. Rav, we cannot hear you.
I don't have much to add to what he writes there. I think we're completely done with this whole thing of revealing a vessel for those knowledge besides him. If we have a group, then it's only the work in the ten, in a way where each one helps his friend, in a way whereby we can support each other, show each other examples. There are many years of work required until our ego begins to respond, to understand, to feel. There's nothing for it. A person who understands in his mind that this is how it is and doesn't pay attention to the response of the heart, whether it agrees or not, that person advances. Certainly there are many other verses to that effect, I think. And perhaps we can actually switch over to something else, a different topic. You need to decide. I'm ready for anything. There's a suggestion to switch to Abash, the purpose of society one. Love. Okay, I'm with you.